online all the time. 88.3 Southern FM.
Yes, it's Peter Howard. We're joined on the line by Robert Brand from Sydney. Robert is one of Australia's leading space entrepreneurs. He's got his fingers in a lot of different pies, and he has a business called Pluscoms, which is involved in telecommunications. He's got a heavy involvement in a Google Lunar X Prize team called Team Stellar, and he's got a new project that he's coming on to talk about called Project Thunderstruck. Robert, are you there?
Yeah, hi.
What is Project Thunderstruck? It sounds fantastic.
Well, basically, Thunderstruck was the name given to a project to test the viability of a very small winged re-entry vehicle, and it's the re-entry vehicle component of a spacecraft. And it was designed to see how small we could get that spacecraft and maintain stability and enough to get it through a re-entry phase. So we have to do a few stages of testing with Project Thunderstruck. So that's the testing phase.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three of them. There's the transonic testing, which is not too difficult. It's just a matter of going through the speed of sound with the craft and taking a whole bunch of measurements about stability and a range of things. And then there's the phase where we take it up on a sounding rocket and let it drop 100 plus kilometres and land it. And then finally there's the deorbit burn that we'll have to do, and then come through the heating phase of the whole project. But the first phase, which has just been nicknamed Project Thunderstruck, good Aussie name, it's basically because of going through the sound barrier, and we thought that was a good name. And we say we, it's my son. He's gone and hijacked the testing phase for this spacecraft concept stage. And if all goes well, we'll then make, there'll be probably arrangements made to build the spacecraft. At the moment, I must be clear, there's no funding for an entire spacecraft, but with the viability of what's happening, we're pretty sure it'll be built if it proves to get through these three stages.
So the theory, Robert, is that a smaller vehicle would have different characteristics to what, for example, the space shuttle has?
It'd be more easy to flip over with inconsistencies in the atmosphere. We don't think there's a problem. We think we get pretty small, but we'd like to think we could get down to a vehicle that could land carrying a delegate payload of 10 kilos or so.
So the advantage there being that you'd have a controlled landing rather than just dropping on the ground with a parachute or something similar, is it?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of delicate experiments that wouldn't go too well with a parachute landing. And the ability to actually land this thing on a runway instead of to try and find it out in the middle of nowhere is very good. And if we can demonstrate a serious ability to land on a runway remotely, away from air traffic and so on, it means that you can really start to treat this thing very differently than something that has no steerage and can't avoid things that are in its way.
Sure.
And has more accuracy in where it lands, so you don't have to go and retrieve it and find that it's fallen in some lake somewhere. not that we've got too many of those, but in sometimes in Australia there can be a lot of water in central Australia.
So you have quite a bit of experience with stratospheric balloons, I understand. You've done several launches and sent payloads up.
Well, we've done 20 now, and
20.
We've got all 20 back, so we're running a pretty high record. You can't get much better than 100% over a large number. We did one just last weekend, and we're going to fly another one in the next 2 weeks as well. So we'll be flying a lot of them, and the point being that we're going to actually drop this initial payload from over 40 kilometres altitude and push it through the sound barrier very quickly. Thus it'll have a spike on the front, where a spacecraft wouldn't have a spike on the front. You're really trying to slow it down quickly, the opposite.
So will that just be falling to gain that speed, or will we have it with an engine of some description?
It'll be falling. It'll be a glider.
Yep.
There won't be too much gliding going on in the initial fall, because we actually want to go straight down and hit the sound barrier as quickly as possible, get through it and get up to Mach 1.5. And Jason, he's 12, mind you, and we want to do this before his 13th birthday.
Fantastic.
He will actually be our pilot for the whole flight. And we expect speeds of approaching 1,800 kilometres per hour.
So he'll actually be controlling what aero surfaces during that supersonic phase? Or will...
Correct. He'll be keeping it stable, stopping it spinning. You lose a lot of energy if it starts spinning.
Sure.
You also lose a bit trying to keep it from spinning as well. But the problem with spinning is it's the slight inconsistencies in the air surfaces. And we have this desire to also land this thing without getting too seasick, because we will be using cameras and on-screen instrumentation.
Right.
So we've been doing very well with this, and the test flights will start to break the sound barrier, but the test flights that we'll be doing up until April, they'll hit the sound barrier and go through it, but they won't be aircraft. This will be an aircraft that will land. We actually have been given a lot of support, which I can't talk about at the moment, but I think you want to have us on in another couple of weeks to say, how did that happen?
Sounds good.
There are some amazing things about to be announced on this project.
Sure. And understand people can actually get involved right now.
Well, they can. If they go to projectthunderstruck.org or .com.au, we don't care, you'll be linked into our fundraising. It's always fundraising.
Yep.
We're trying to raise about $20,000 for this project, and that's to do the science. The event will actually cost us a further $60,000, but we're not tapping people on the shoulders to help us with the event. That's got to be sponsored. And we'll be flying around the country shortly to speak to sponsors that are put their hand up already. So this is going to happen.
Fantastic.
And it's just a matter of really getting Australia behind us to see about making this a reality as far as a spaceship for the future, an Australian one.
Sure.
We're linking up with some universities here in Sydney, and happy to do so in other states too. They're very keen on a re-entry vehicle and a winged one at that, and it's something we're getting very good at. So have a look at Thunderstruck.
I'll do that.
There'll be some stories, very regular stories, going on the website. And if you can help with a few dollars, of course, feel free.
Terrific. Well, thank you for talking to us, Rob. Sounds like we'd better speak to you again very, very soon. And all the very best with that. And as they say, there's no Buck Rogers without the Bucks, right? No Bucks,
correct.
No Buck Rogers. Is that what they say?
That's right.
Well, thank you for joining us, Robert. We've got to sign off now, and we appreciate you coming through and chatting to us. And let's keep in touch. We'll have you back soon.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Robert Brand, he is from Sydney. He's a space entrepreneur, and as I mentioned, he and his son are involved in this project called Thunderstruck. He's also involved in Google Lunar X Prize. He's got a business called Spacecoms, and quite an action man. 100 miles an hour. Always lots of stuff going on with Robert.